Let's see. The Bible talks about growing in Christ, and it talks about sowing seed, and it talks about Paul sowing and another person watering, and it talks about growth in Christ. It talks about a building. So the building is the life of Christ growing up in each vessel. On God's farm, the produce that we're growing there is Christ. And we have to water the Christ, the seed that entered into our spirit, with the Word of God. Now, the Spirit, as I mentioned before, the very main part of the Spirit is the conscience. Worshiping the Lord is something else, which is part of the conscience. And spiritual insight is something else that's part of the conscience. But the major thing in the Spirit is the conscience. Because in the Spirit, worship and spiritual insight. But the spiritual insight and the conscience, if there's no conscience anymore because you refuse to repent, or you start thinking that everybody's persecuting you when they're bringing a testifying that you do certain things, and it's obvious to everybody, everybody becomes wicked to you. Everybody becomes a weasel, a devil, when they start recording you. When it's the job of a true saint to watch for demonic things in people, and it's to be considered a kindness when people are interested enough in your soul to report to you if they see wickedness or sin, and you're to pray for the people like that. But when they won't receive what they know that they're doing, and everybody knows they're doing, and I see it myself, then there comes a insulation in their spirit to where they can't get to God. It's like a padding that goes around their conscience, and it's, the Bible calls it seared. You can call it insulation. It goes around the spirit to where the spirit has no more communication with the Lord. And the longer they keep doing that, then you see they start living on their own mentality, and they couple that with the mentality of the devil, and then they start showing signs of insanity, and there isn't anything really they can do that's right, because they want so much to live according to the impulses that they receive from the devil, and they don't want to receive the reports that are being told on them. And you can be watching them. You could be watching them committing adultery or fornication. You could see them lusting. You could know that they're lying because their stories contradict each other, and they're just like very tight with what they tell you because they want to keep themselves insulated from. They want to keep themselves insulated from the Lord and from instructions from the Spirit. They don't want to confess anything to you because they know that you have the Spirit of God, which is the ingredient, the life of Christ, that could tell them what it is that's wrong with them. And that we could pray, and this also would be a thing that would break their pride and their spirit, their human spirit, to where the Lord's Spirit could enter back in again. But no, what some of them do, and I've seen it down through the years in the ministry, almost 36 years now, or maybe a little over, since 19. I've seen them do that very thing, and every single one of them wind up, they say, well, I just can't be around all these people because they keep lying about me. Well, if you have the Spirit of the Lord streaming through you, the river of life pouring, being poured out in your spirit, you just say, okay, well, now what am I supposed to do if I'm the way I am? That's what I tell them. You don't instruct me. Tell me the right things. If people write me and say that you're writing things that are false, all this, I say, okay, well, then rebuke me. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Because I know I'm right. And tell me what the right scriptures, and they'll start quoting false, fallacy and all sorts of things. Not these people. They take it as a personal front against their life, against their integrity, and their they want to live a satanic life in front of you, and they don't want you to say anything about it. And that just ain't going to happen in this church, okay? Because I'm not going to lose my soul. Well, what do you want me to do? Then just leave? Well, if that's what you want to do, I'm willing to, if you want to comply with the Spirit of the Lord, with the Word of God, you know, deal with you and be patient and be merciful to you. But if you want God to love you, then you better do what the Lord says, because anyone that doesn't love the Lord to do what he says to do, he says, a person that doesn't do what I say and says that they love me are liars, and the truth is not in them. They don't love God. They think, they make a pretense of loving him by picking up a Bible every so often and looking at it as a front to people that are around them so they don't get so much flack. They don't want to, on top of the things that they're doing in the house, want to be reported for never reading or never praying. But you can tell the ones that are fervent in the Spirit and the ones that are studying the Word of the Lord, because they love to talk about Jesus. The ones that don't, they're like the Enochs, they're like watchers. They never do anything. Everything they do is to say that we're kidnapping them, or we've done something wrong to them, or that the scriptures are false, or some other thing, that's wrong. In other words, they haven't received that yet in their soul, so they haven't received a portion of God. God is the Word. Well, I have news for everybody. If that's the way you think that you're going to operate around here, well, then you're as crazy as that woman that had to be carted out of here. You'll be screaming one of these nights and pulling your hair out and all that kind of stuff, because you think you're somebody that you're not. You think you're some big time stuff. You have illusions in your mind or your spirit or someplace that you're some real God's gift to human beings, and that you can twist a man of God around your finger. You're crazy. You're as crazy as that woman that they hauled off. Because if that's the stance that people would make with me, I immediately have to make a strong stand for the Lord, so that I don't throw other people's souls in the congregation. And God will replace you, and probably already has, in just short order. I'm going to go get my message on prayer, day 4. There's tracts on praying. But the Bible says that the reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. So every day you have to either be reproved by somebody, you have to reprove yourself. If somebody's not around to reprove you, you should be reproving yourself with the word of the Lord all day long. Because it helps, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. When we have these in the morning, doesn't it help you? Well, all you're doing is, you've heard these things before. I'm just saying them in a little different fashion so that it remains by the Spirit, because the Spirit knows that it has to remain interesting. It has to remain cutting or be set at a different angle so that it constantly builds and reinforces that which you've learned before. Yeah, that is, if you've learned it before. Okay, go ahead.
4th day, pray for the spirit of holiness.
Yeah. Because lying is not holy. That's not the spirit of holiness. Accusing saints of being liars is not the spirit of holiness. Sitting in a lewd position and trying to entice people into lusting or something like that is not the spirit of holiness. Using body language or making faces while or being hateful towards people, that is not the spirit of holiness. Lying constantly and hiding your past, where you never confess it, there is no spirit of holiness there. So the Lord says, pray for the spirit of holiness. Amen? Because it's not there. Right?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And pray for the to be led by the Spirit. Because if you're not, then pray for it. Okay, because God answers. Pray for the spirit of fear, because our wisdom, which is the same thing as fear, James said, to pray for wisdom, and God will give it to you abundantly. If you have faith to believe that He'll do it, pray for the love of Christ to be in you. Pray for the river of life to go through you. Pray for the Spirit of holiness. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you do, God hears and answers. If you confess and you have a contrite spirit, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, well, then there's a... God cannot work in a whole person. They have to be broken first, because He likes to work His way into you and fill you with Him so that He can work Himself out of you unto others. And if you're hiding something, then He's going to hide Himself from you. So pray for the Spirit of holiness and honesty and this, not selfishness or self-centeredness, or think everybody's lying about you when there are so many reports that it's unbelievable. I'm not wrong about people. I'm not wrong when the Spirit's telling me something. God is not wrong. There's definitely something wrong. And I'm not wrong about people when the Lord keeps persisting that this thing is definitely existing. Now, I've got too many other things to do than to pick on somebody. And I wouldn't have the Spirit to preach or teach or anything or to do the things of the Lord that He commands to do if I was that wrong, okay? Or if I was listening to the devil spirit. If I was listening to the devil spirit, then you'd see me not be able to think clear. I mean, my thought was call the police on this girl. So I dialed the number and I asked who I was praying to. And he says, no, don't call the police. So I asked him, well, what should I do? He says, this is ruin, you know, every good thing that I've done here in this town. I didn't do that. He used me as an instrument to do it. But he says, get her out of town. Have the sisters get her and the brother, a couple of married couples, and take her out of town and get her where she's supposed to go, and let's pray for her. So I said, I hung up the phone immediately. And I sat back totally confident at what the Lord had told me. We're not in headlines today, right?
Amen.
Okay, so I know I'm hearing from the Lord.
Amen.
All right? And then the Lord tells me, they didn't get the generator, get the generator. This person is doing that. Confront them with it. Bring witnesses in. No, when we bring witnesses in now, they're all accused of being liars, picking on them, and that they don't want to live in a place like this where everybody hates them. This is not the Lord. And you can't even get the whole testimony out on them because they keep yapping so much and interfering with them. If it's a false testimony, I'll sit there and listen to it. I listen to letters all the time that are falsely accusing me. And so I know how to answer them. And if it's right, well, I want to know if I'm doing something wrong in the Lord. If I'm doing something wrong, I want to repent. But these people, they don't even want a testimony to come out because they have no intentions of it. Repenting. And that's why they need to pray more than anybody for the Spirit of the Lord. And for not a weak conscience, but for their conscience to be vitally alive, because that's a major part of your very spirit, where the Lord wants to live. And if you're going to be sinning, and then your spirit is rejecting reproof, well, then your spirit, you're causing your own spirit to be dead. Because the Lord will not communicate. That's where He communicates to your spirit, and that's where you're supposed to be communicating to Him. He knows what you're doing and what you've done. You can't get by His spirit knowing what we all. He knows every hair on your head. Knows it, more than that, He knows every fiber of your being. Knows every pore in your body. So it's so presumptuous and so egotistical and so pompous for people that are obviously, there's so many witnesses and a great cloud of witnesses against them, and they're not doing it to harm them, because I would never kick anybody out of the church if they confessed an honest confession. But it's when they confess and then change their confession and then wonder, they can't understand how you can't believe them. Can you understand that? That anyone would be so stinking warped that they couldn't understand why you can't believe them. The Lord says, believe not that spirit if they lie to you. He commands you not to believe them. They can come up with any excuse, but a true warrior of the Lord, a true person of God, is not going to. They want more than anything in the world to be believed. And you couldn't cut them into a million pieces to lie to satisfy somebody's soul. Or they're hiding. It's the worst form of Satanism I've ever seen. Because even this gathering that was possessed with the devil, a legion of them, repented. He said that we're many. He confessed. We're many dead, you know. Legion, because there are many demons in me. At least he had a heart that wanted to repent. So he confessed it. And he was hurting his own self. But these people, if they had even one demon going for them, or a couple of thousand, and somebody brings a report on them, they could be gnashing themselves and doing every other thing that you know is just totally contrary to the scriptures, and not want to have the Spirit of the Lord enter them to knock all that out of the way, so where they could live a peaceable life and have a strong conscience and not a weak one, as the Apostle Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 8th chapter, verse 11 and 12, where he tells you not to drink wine. He says, I can drink wine, but if there's somebody that has a weak conscience or somebody that doesn't believe that they're weak in the faith, and they see you eating meat or drinking wine, they believe in eating vegetables because they're weak, and they believe in that you can't have a little, I mean, not drunken for sure, but maybe a little glass of wine to celebrate a marriage or something like that. Well, then I will not drink any wine or eat any meat around them, because it would wound their weak conscience. And the Apostle Paul is so gentle and tender towards and concerned about wounding people, their conscience, because he knows that if he wounds a person's conscience, that it'll make it weaker than it is, then they'll start doing things and not even, it won't, the conscience won't convict them anymore, because we saw the Apostle Paul do it. Well, I know that he must be committing sexual acts too, and we're going to do it, and their conscience, and they will never confess it, and their conscience will immediately be seared and insulated, and they won't ever, Paul would have thrown their soul because of doing such a thing as that. There are people that are weak, and the weak in that there isn't enough of the Spirit of the Lord in them, or they no concern for the truth, to where if they see somebody doing something, then they feel they can do it. So again, as the Apostle Paul says, the more I love you and show love to you, the more you hate me. And the Apostle Paul is the greatest of all apostles, because God used him to write approximately 2/3 of the New Testament. And man, you really have to be in tune with the Lord to get all those words in place and make sure that everything is right. But he also did the work. It wasn't just writing. He was concerned about people's conscience being clear. Because if they're not clear, you cannot communicate to God, and your life is over with. Because Christ is your life. If he will not enter your spirit, where the major part of it is your conscience, that's the major part of your spirit, is your conscience. If you don't have a conscience to tell the truth, or to repent, which means to repent, honest confession is good for the soul, because the soul that sins shall surely die. So the whole spirit has to permeate through the soul into the body towards the, and if you stop the Lord's work in your spirit by lying, by not confessing, well, then you've destroyed your own soul, because the Lord's life is not going to keep pouring in. He'll keep sending messages to you to get it to where you open your spirit for his life to come in, so that God's farm can start producing the Lord's life in there and start making it grow to where it grows through your soul and into your body to where you're really a person of the Lord. The Lord wants to grow in you. And it involves receiving and doing everything that he says. The most lovely person in the world is someone that receives everything the Lord says and has got soft and a gentle person. You hear somebody there being, oh, no, I didn't do everything. These people are devils. They're banging on the door out there in the front. It all is the spirit of the devil. People that can't even hold their peace while somebody's bringing a report on whether it's false or true. There's more devil in them than there is the Lord, for sure. And I know the Word of God, and I know the Spirit of the Lord. And so this message is pray for the Spirit of the Lord. Those of you that have that problem, the Lord just keeps dealing with people and dealing with them and dealing to them until they get to the point to where they have that Spirit. But you have to pray for that Spirit. Okay, if you at least confess it to yourself that you have these problems, and start praying for the Spirit of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit of holiness. For Christ's Spirit to enter into you. At least get a hold of the Lord. Call out to him and tell him, look, I don't want to go to hell. People like that want to be around me, they say, I just want to be around you. Why? For me to be knowing what the Lord is saying, knowing what the Scriptures are saying, and just be around here to aggravate and also to weaken the conscience of the people that are here in the church. We have more members of the church in here right now than they testify that there are in many churches throughout the world. I've been to churches where there was only the man was preaching, not the Lord, but the man was. And there was only his wife and his baby there. And Gracie took me in. She said she wanted me to meet this young kid. She said he's such a nice boy and all that kind of stuff. And some of the brothers, we went in there. And he wanted me on the platform, so I went up there. And this man was not speaking in the spirit. And he just kept talking about the one piece of chicken in his refrigerator. That he says the devil keeps bringing it to his mind when he's preaching and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm saying, man, this guy ought to not be in the ministry. I mean, he's no good at all. And the Lord says, give him $1,000 or something. I don't remember exactly how much it was. Because the Lord tells me to do that with a lot of people. I don't remember how much it is. All I know is the Lord blesses it right back to me. So I'm not concerned about what it is, whatever he tells me to give him. So I waited until the end of the service, and then he says, I've trusted the Lord in the Word, but he says, gosh, you know, he says, I gave him, I says, here, the Lord told me to give this to you, but I didn't want to give it to you because I know that you're not working, you need to get a job, and I don't feel the presence of the Lord that much. I know that you're a good person, or the Lord would have never told me to give you this money. But he wants me to tell you something. He wants me to tell you that you need to get a job because you've got a wife and a kid there, and you don't have a congregation here to support you and your wife and child. And you yourself are not working. Now, everybody in our church works. I work. And that's where I got the money that the Lord told me to give to you. He started crying like a baby. He says, the only thing that we've got in that house, there's not even any milk for that baby or my wife, and there's just one piece of chicken in that refrigerator. That's all we've got. He says, we needed $300 or $400 and something to pay the rent. We needed food in the refrigerator. We had to pay the lights and gas. They just turned them off and everything. And this $1,000 covers everything and will give us enough money for food to last us for a while. And I said, well, you see, the Lord spoke to me and told me to give that to you. Now, there's watchers around here that are not that honest. That kid was honest. And so I says, okay, now get a job. Let me know when you get one, okay? And I gave him my phone number in Nashville. Maybe some of you were there and you remember this testimony. Do you? No? Well, I've done so many things that you don't know about. God has done through me. And so about 2 weeks, a week and a half to 2 weeks later, I get a call in Nashville and he says, Pastor Lamo, he said, I got a job. I said, well, praise the Lord. He says, if you'll just loan me $500 more, he says, that will be enough for me to get to work back and forth, pay the payment on my car. And it's a good job because, you know, and it's going to give me a certain amount of money and plenty enough to support my sales. And I asked the Lord, said, give it to him. I said, well, the Lord told me just to give it to you right now. Don't you worry about it. I said, I'm so pleased that you're doing what the Lord told me to tell you to do. I said, are you happy? And he said, oh, praise the Lord. He says, you're absolutely right. I said, still, you know, have your church and all that, but let everybody know you're working, okay? And while I was working, I was putting together the store. I was going buying the stuff for the store. I was designing. I was, like, going through books, all kinds of stuff. I went out. I built. I helped haul stuff. I helped haul a house down a hillside one time because I wanted it down below. We pounded handles on the house, and I said about three brothers get on each handle, and I was one of them. And on each four handles like that, it's about 12 brothers, and we just picked the house up and walked down the hill with it. We got that old, it was a big house, it was just kind of a small house. But it worked, you know, my little handle idea. So, you know, so this guy never heard from him again. I said, well, I don't want to try to stop you from preaching the gospel, but that is the gospel. If you don't work, you don't eat. Okay? Paul worked. I worked. Everybody works that I know of in the Bible. So some of them raised cattle. Abraham raised cattle. Isaac, Jacob, all the different patriarchs. They worked. So that's part of the Spirit of the Lord is the Word. A person needs to pray for the Spirit of holiness. All right? So let's start, because it's the Spirit that gives you the power to keep the commandments of the Lord. It's the Spirit that's going to tell you what to do and what not to do. If you don't have that Spirit, if you're so satanic that you hate the instructions of the Lord, then you don't know, you hateful devil, that you're going to go to hell. Know it now. If you want to run out of here and go someplace or do whatever you want to do, get out of this church, well, then go. Because you're miserable here. You're miserable with the Word of the Lord. You're miserable anytime you hear a message. You're miserable to be diligent and help everybody else work to get the tracks out. So I'm terribly satanically wrong with you. All you need is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And this will change you and make you sweet. Because I don't care how sweet you look on the outside. When I see that devil rising out of you every time that you hear a message or you supposed to do something or things don't go your way or you think that somebody in this house is doing something wrong and you just throw things down and quit. Well, I've got news for you. You are one of the most greedy, selfish, demonic people I've ever known. Despicable, and God hates you. He's not going to start loving you until you start openly confessing and so that the Spirit of the Lord can enter into your spirit. And so you can start hearing from the Lord and receiving His power. Okay, now, pray for the Spirit. Okay, go ahead, read that again.
Pray for the Spirit of holiness. God is the Holy One.
God is the Holy One, not you, not me. If you are being led by the Spirit, then we are His holy ones. But if you're doing just the opposite of that sort of stuff, well, then you're not one of His holy ones. Okay, start again.
Pray for the Spirit of holiness. God is the Holy One. His people are a holy people.
Yeah, His people. Not Satan's people, just because you're living in the church. That doesn't make you holy. His people are His holy people. Okay, go ahead.
He speaks, quote, "I am holy. I am the Lord which makes you holy."
Yeah. Only the Lord's Spirit can make you holy. And if you're preventing the Spirit of the Lord from living in your spirit, how do you ever expect to be holy? Why do you want to burn in hell? Why do you want to just think you can deceive people? I know when a person is holy, and so do you, don't you?
Yes.
Don't you know when you see a holy person or you see somebody acting demonic? Can't you tell?
Yes.
Well, I can tell too, all right? Okay, go ahead.
Christ prayed, quote, "Sanctify them, make them holy."
Listen, Christ is praying, he says to his Father, "Sanctify them, Father, make them holy." Okay? You're just, you know, then what?
Make them holy through thy truth.
Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay, thy spirit is truth. Keep reading.
Paul prayed, quote, "God, establish your hearts unblameable in holiness."
Right. You have to be blameless in order to get into the kingdom of God. How many more urgent messages do you have to hear before you're going to start letting it take action in your, before you start agreeing that your will says, all right, I'm going to have a change of mind here, a change of will. My will is to do the Father's will, and I don't care what people think about me. If I did this and that, I don't care. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to let my spirit be broken. I'm going to let the Lord in me. People are bringing the accusation against you, if they're true, they're not trying to hurt you. They're just bringing it to the attention of someone that already knows it. And it's just a thing that breaks your pride, you know, to confess that you did this or that or anything like that. And the Lord can then work in you because you're broken. You've broken your pride, you've broken your spirit, and your heart has become softened towards the Lord's way instead of yours. And it shows that you believe the Word. All the ingredients are there of a very good, godly person. And so then you say, come into me, the Spirit of holiness. Come into me, Jesus, with the Father by the Spirit. And He does. And people will never get to anything from the Lord, especially the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have to obey every command of the Lord first before you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord is in you when you first get saved, but it's enough only to abide or to live and still seek the Lord, because it isn't you that seeks the Lord, it's the Spirit of the Lord in you. So first you have to get saved to have the Spirit in you to seek for the promise of the Father, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It has to be the Lord praying in you. And I'm just saying these things every day because the people have been living according to what you see some bad people in the church live, and you don't reprove yourselves with the Word. And so I just want to get this to be a habit-forming thing to where every day you're getting some reproof from the Word of the Lord and reminders to tell you, you know, that you have to live a holy life. The Spirit of holiness has to be in you. So if it's not, well, you just don't say, I don't have it. There's no way for me to possibly think I can. I'll never be a person like that. No, you never will. It has to be the Lord in you. Once the Lord is in you, then you'll say, why, it's so easy. Because He's doing it. It doesn't take years to get saved. It takes one flash of a moment. It doesn't take years to repent. It just takes one flash of a moment. It doesn't take long for the Lord to come into you. And he can start working marvelous works in you and be doing the speaking and everything. You're doubting God's ability to do things. You're doubting the Spirit of holiness. And therefore, all you're doing is saying, I've lived cunningly like this before. I've been undetected before. I know I can deceive people and live around certain stupid people that are not spiritual for a long length of time. And that's what I want to do, is I want to get into an environment where I feel comfortable. That's why I feel comfortable in the Catholic cult. I feel comfortable around my mother and dad because they're not holy, and they don't do anything that's holy. They don't read or reprove. I feel more comfortable around them. That's where I want to go, is where I'm comfortable. But the Lord says he doesn't want you to be comfortable. He wants you to take up the cross, okay, and live a crucified life. He wants you to start growing. He wants you to go through fire. He wants you to let him do the work. He wants you to, I want to be someplace where I can do what I want and not have people poking fingers at me. I want to be comfortable. Okay, I won't get this and I won't get that and I won't have all these other things, but at least I'll be comfortable. That's all you're thinking about is yourself. So what we really need to do is pray for the Spirit of holiness. Amen?
Amen.
God is holy. His people are holy. Amen?
Amen.
So we're reproving. This is the reproof of the Word of the Lord. You've heard these things before, but you won't do it yourself. And so the Lord has called me to, I will. No one has to kick me in the behind to get going for the Lord. I mean, the Lord does plenty good with that with me. And that's what you need to have, is the Spirit of holiness in you. Well, you be a self-starter where God can start you in the morning and keep you going through the day doing his will, not yours. My will right now is, I may not like the environment that I'm in, the town that I'm in. I don't like the scenery. My choice of environment when I'm the carnal would be Miami Beach or Tampa, St. Petersburg area. In order to be in a place where they have constant good food and a great variety of things and everything. But I choose to just be where the Lord wants me to be. And it's not as comfortable of carnally for me, but I'm comfortable being where the Lord wants me. That's where I'm the most comfortable, okay? And if it happens to be here in this little burg in Arkansas, well, that's where I want to be, because I'm comfortable in the Lord. You're comfortable around satanic things, not me. I'm comfortable around the Lord. It makes me have more peace when I know I'm going to heaven than it would be for me to gaze at Miami Beach and watch the waves come in. It's too monotonous for me. The waves come in, and then they come in, and then they keep coming in and coming in, okay? And then they go out. That doesn't thrill me. I've seen all that, and I saw it, and it bored me to death, almost, okay? And to be around the food now, they've got all kinds of homosexuals working in kitchens with AIDS and everything. That doesn't thrill me either. I'd rather eat at home, because spiritually I would. Occasionally I do go out to eat at restaurants when I'm downtown. I have something to eat. But I prayerfully, very prayerfully. And I'm not enjoying it as much as I do when I'm at home. I love being at home. I used to love to be here and there and everywhere. I just had to be comfortable. And as much as the Lord gives me to be, I'm extremely comfortable now. Much more comfortable than being in Bel Air or Beverly Hills in a big mansion with high ceilings in it and beam ceilings and a view of the ocean up high. Now, that doesn't give me comfort at all. Those people are miserable. You see them slicing their wrists in bathtubs. You see them committing suicide. Freddie Prinze put a bullet through his head, and he was the number one on the on television. These singers, the lead singer of the Doors, went and slit his wrists. I mean, he had all kinds of people worshiping him, and now they mourn because it's like a cult worship. He wasn't happy. He was totally like possessed with the devil, and there wasn't anything that could make him happy in the world. But if he would have gotten saved, then the Lord gives you the happiness and joy to just know you're saved. He gives you a comfort to where you don't. What good does all the money in the world do? I had tons of money, but I was never happy. But now, you know, I consider that I don't have anything. If my wife ever wanted to divorce me and get alimony, she can't get any. Because I don't have any. It all belongs to everything I have goes to the Lord in emergencies and everything of the Lord. I have got no financial statement. I have no wealth that she can receive from alimonies. No point for her to sue me because I don't have anything. I get $1,000 a week, and that gets spent real fast on the food and the utilities and all the other stuff. And I haven't even gotten my paycheck for about two or three times because all the money had to go for the church.
God sanctify you wholly.
Make it, let him sanctify you, set you aside for his purpose to be holy. Listen, you're not alive for your own purpose. The Lord gave you life so that you could do his will. There isn't supposed to be one stitch of your own will in you. It's not the Lord's will that you lie and are offended at having to do some work for him. That's your will, the devil's will. He wants you to aid in destroying. That's why he's got you around, the devil. But if you reach out to the Lord, if you pray to him, which I know is an abomination to certain people, for the spirit of holiness, well, the Lord will give it to you if you're sincere with it. It doesn't matter. He said, Paul said he was the vilest of all sinners. But the Lord made him the number one Christian going. Okay, then what? But he said we'd do greater things in these last days, and Paul was part of that. Okay, then what?
Pray for all saints, God's holy ones, throughout the church.
Right, so when you see people that are weak, pray for them. Just let's find the scriptures in 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. It started at about the 9th verse about this conscience business that is the major part of your spirit. Some people don't know these things. Let's start at 10 and 11, but just let's read 9 and start at 9.
But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak.
Yeah, you can do what the Lord says, but you don't have to go bragging about it. Or devils will probably go and tell on you so that they can stumble many more souls. They can, that you, if you are a person that likes meat, you eat it, you might be a person that takes a drink of wine every so, they'll go and tell it to the newspapers and everything so they can stumble everybody's weak conscience. It won't stumble the person that does it. If you're a drunk, that's a different story. But it will stumble, or if you're doing anything that the Lord has commanded you to do, you have to keep it quiet. Throw, you know, cast out your pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend you. That's what their great hope is to see the work of God fail. That's why this thing was at the door last night, screaming so neighbors could hear. The devil hated that move of the Lord with the newspapers and everything like that. So he started getting into the weak ones, or the ones that are demons, demon-possessed. And they are planning, you know, what they can do to hurt the church. But they might, too. But because they have hurt the church before. But the Lord prevailed. The Lord, I mean, if something happens or even I get killed, I know I'm going to heaven. And for people doing like this, it's just like the same spirit of Judas. It isn't the spirit of holiness in them. Because the devil keeps giving them the idea, like the Millers, that they got to stop this work. We had a person in the church when we first started over at Carlos Avenue that was told Brian Bingham that I didn't do the promotions that I was saying I did. And so Brian left the church, Brian Bingham, the piano player. And so Susie just said, well, let him go. We know we have the Lord. And then he called up on the phone, you know, where we lived in that little shack, next to a shack, and I thought, how could anyone doubt me being of the Lord when I gave up this career, and I've got a Beatles album, I'm not selling it. I'm living in this $65 a month shack. It was lean, it didn't have any floor in it, it was dirt. And hippies had been living in there and destroyed it. They had big dragons drawn on the wall and snakes and stuff like that. So we painted and wallpapered and put a floor in the thing, Sue and I. Nobody helped us. We put in cabinets and all that kind of stuff. And I, you know, I'm a lay carpenter. I'm not a good guy, but I did it. And it got a nice, comfortable place. Our furniture was too big for the place. But this guy that was just demon-possessed wanted to, he says, man, he says, you have to be stopped because I know that you people are going to go right to the top, you and Sue. And he was telling Brian, man, they have to be stopped because they're sharp. Look how well they're dressed. Well, we always dressed well. But look where we were. We were in a dope den over there and converted it into a church. We were preaching the gospel in missions downtown and out at the beach area. We were preaching in Herman and Marie Beetz's church down by the beach over there, and then also the other one down the beach, Kenny Feldman and Billy, his wife. We were preaching downtown missions over at Angela's Temple, Gladys Church's 500 room. Amy Simple McPherson's church over there, and then in the big room as well. And we were on radio, and we were witnessing on the streets. And this man wanted to break up our church. I wasn't worried about it. And if somebody was so weak in the church that they wanted to go with him and believe that I had a false testimony, that I promoted all these different people and things, like 20 original hits and all that. They could believe that if they want. I don't care. And so Brian called over and told me that that's what the guy said, that I didn't do all that. And Susie just went like this. Don't get him. I said, that's our piano player. She says, let him go. If he wants to believe somebody else besides you, if he thinks you're a liar, let him go. If he calls you a liar, let him go. If he doesn't know you're of the Lord, then get him out of here. And I says, honey, he's our piano player. I says, I can prove, you know, with my scrapbooks here that I did this. I says, Brian, come over. I'll just show you the scrapbook, and then you can believe me or him, okay? She said, okay. So he came over. Sue never really liked him anymore after that. And he was weak, and God had to take his life. He was 21 years old. And God put a brain tumor in his head, and he took it. Any of you remember that?
Amen.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, the Lord punished him for not believing what I was saying.
Amen.
So you people better be careful about calling me a liar, because the Lord said I'm all that he has, okay? And if people want to take issue with that, or that I'm a liar or something, and you're telling the truth, well, then fine. But God will get you in the end. And I liked Brian. I mean, he was my driver. He was an excellent driver, and he used to drive me all over town. He talked his dad into letting us bring our buses down into his shop way down in Southern California, out in the Anaheim, and we painted our buses red, white, and blue in there, and our different cars and stuff like that. And then we had some people in the church that were good at lettering. I think Bruce Lakofta did that. But when he saw my scrapbook, he says, the guy was a liar. I says, yeah, that's right. I'm not a liar, am I? And he says, no. He said, no. So here we had our piano player back. And I told Sue, see? She says, there's something wrong with that boy. If he believes you're a liar, if he would listen to some flaky kid that comes in this church, as he has, there's something wrong with that kid. God's going to punish him. And he did. He got married to that Gail Bingham against my instructions. I said, the woman is no good. She's just an out and out. She's no more of the Lord than the devil is. She's the one that married, after Brian died, that married Ed Risha. Risha had Benji. Benji is her child, this wicked, demonic woman. And she just left him in the crib with a note saying, I trust Tony and Sue with him that she will raise him up. But she ran off with after she left, she was married to Risha, and she had the baby, and so she runs off with this Kent Coffus and just leaves the church. And I warned her, and Sue talked to her, says, "You're going to send your soul to hell." But she just got so infatuated with this Kent Coffus, who had a fantastic, he had a real good personality. And she was just absolutely beautiful. I think she's probably one of the most beautiful women that's ever been in the church. She was gorgeous, wasn't she?
She was.
And that's where Benji got his looks from. But Benji's also got her spirit. And so we wound up raising Benji until Susie died, and then I just gave him, put him over there with Joey, and then as I hear the testimony of him, that he was just like his mother. Human flesh meant more to her than going to heaven. And she's still out there, still living with the same guy. And she's getting her reward here on this side. She got Kent Coffus. But now what is she going to get at the judgment bar of God? She's in her 50s now. Time goes very fast. And the Lord's coming back to earth again. And Benji went back to her, the very one that deserted and left him in the crib. She no more cared about. She took Brian's children with her, Sarah, and what was the other one's name?
Seth,
yeah. But she left Ed Rish's child because he was an Arab. He was an Arab and he didn't care anything about Benji, and she just left him in the crib. So Sue and I took him and raised him up till about 3 or 4. Then sent him over to Orlando's, and they, of course, were loose, and their testimony stands for themselves. And he went down the drain. Okay, because that's why people need to pray for the spirit of holiness, amen?
Amen.
So that these same things that you witness happen to other people doesn't happen to you. Has the work enlarged since then?
Amen.
Did they hurt the work?
No.
When they got rid of these people?
Amen.
The Lord says to clean the filth in the church out so that he can grow. Amen. He says, cast the filth out of your body so that I can grow in your body. Cast the filth out. But no, when you want to retain that filth in you, you don't want to confess it and get rid of it. You don't want to stop hiding the devil in you. Well, then that's who you've got. You're a witness for the devil. You're a living place, a place of abode for him. And you love him, and you reject the Lord. You hate the Lord. And that's what the Lord said. He commands you, love the devil, or love me. You can't serve two masters. Now, love one of us. And if you love the devil, get out. Because you're filth. Now, not to you, you're not filth, because you love the devil, and that's your kind of life. That's your kind of way. You love the spirit of unholiness rather than holiness. And because you do, you're not going to be praying for the spirit of holiness. You're not going to be praying for Christ to come in. You're not going to be keeping his commandments about confess and repent, because you love the spirit of unholiness. You have to choose. The disciples, at the time before Christ's resurrection, on the day of his resurrection, he blew his spirit in them so they could abide. They didn't have any life in them. But they believed the Lord. And they had to believe the Lord before they could get endued with the power from on high, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of power. Christ, all power in heaven and earth belongs to him. He's the power and wisdom of God. If he's not in you, you don't have any wisdom of God, and you don't have any power of Christ. All power in the universe, I mean, right here on this earth, the very power that's holding the world up and spinning it around, and spinning all the different galaxies of the different worlds around, the sun, the moon, Mars, Jupiter, all those are in place because of the not even 1% of anybody else but Jesus. all power. That means A-L-L, 100% power. Every breath that you breathe is coming from Jesus. You wouldn't have the power to even breathe. He gives you enough power to breathe. So every breath that you, there's only one breath in your body, the Bible says. Cease ye from man in whose nose is one breath. Or how little is he to be accounted of? Only Christ living in you is meaningful. Everything else that you love to possess, such as Gail's Kent caucus, she openly committed adultery and left her child right before the eyes of the entire congregation. She no more cared about your souls or the Lord's work or his work spreading throughout the world. But despite all that, we are around the world now. And it's just like that devil that got Brian out of the church for a couple of days. They did grow. We were going to go up to the top. And there isn't anything that anyone can do to stop it. You think these devils think that all power is theirs. They don't have any life and they don't have any power. They're totally void of it. But they're too absolutely possessed with the devil to realize it. To know it. Okay, let's go.
For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols?
Yeah, he'll start sinning. You're not eating them, Giles. You're in there scoping the place out. But he'll start worshiping these idols. And a lot of the idols that they worship for sensuality, sex. I have old books, many of them, that tell which each one of these idols stood for. The ones that Solomon went after were idols of perverted sexual practices and things like that. And they got him involved in it, where there would be more than two women in with him at one time. That is strictly forbidden. Oh God, that's idolatry right there. At its max. Because you're worshiping the creature rather than the creator. Okay, then what?
And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died?
Right, he'll start sinning. When they see somebody in here lying and everything, you're just teaching everybody that you can lie and still stay in the house of the Lord. When you commit adultery, that's just saying, hey, everybody, come on, do it. You know, I didn't die. I'm still alive. I'm still here with Kent. Kent Coffus. Okay, go ahead.
But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ.
Yeah, you wound their conscience. It's like an arrow you're shooting into their conscience where they can... No, they don't any longer have a conscience about sinning. They say, Paul did it. This person and that person in the church has been here for all their life and they're doing it. And so I don't get convicted about lying or lusting or any of these things. They did it. And so that doesn't make it right. Because what you're doing, your conscience is seared and you're causing other people's consciences to think that they can do it too. And therefore they don't get convicted. Because they think it's all right. Because you're doing it. And that makes you triple guilty. Or quadruple guilty. Or a hundredfold guilty. However many that you're performing your act of sinfulness before. Even though it was lawful for Paul to do certain things, he wasn't to do it in front of the weak. Like drinking a glass of wine or eating meat. Some people think that you're not of the Lord if you don't eat vegetables like the Seventh-day Adventists. They're all vegetarians. But I care enough about souls to find out all the different things about different religions because if I'm with the Seventh-day Adventists, I'm going to eat a salad if I go to a restaurant with them. Because they're thinking, this is a holy man. I'm going to watch what he does. And I certainly would never drink anything that was contaminated in the bottle. I'm going to order a bottle of water because they think Coke and 7-Up and Pepsi Cola and all that stuff is of the devil. You have to be, your conscience has to be your guide. Your spirit, with the Lord's spirit in there, has to be concerned about human souls. You think you're just hurting yourself, but if you are even posing it or giving body language to try to get people to lust, if they do lust, you're sending that person's soul to hell, and you're going to be responsible for their soul. You go into deeper, hotter places of hell. The kingdom of heaven is prepared for the saints. There's different, but everybody's satisfied with what they got, and they know it's the right thing. And hell is prepared for Satan, his angels, and all those that follow him. Okay, go ahead.
Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, now let's go back to the... So that's just another thing about conscience. The conscience is the major part of your spirit. And if you have no conscience about not seeking the Lord, then there's a petition of insulation that comes down between you and God, and you're like in a padded cell. And it might as well be 100,000 feet thick, because you can't get to him. And he's certainly not going to get to you. Because you feel, because you may have seen your parents sin, you might have seen them do all kinds of things. That is, and as a matter of fact, some of them might have even molested you. So to you, there's no rhyme or reason about anything. Yeah, if your dad will do that, I know that he used to talk about the Bible, and he used to read the Bible, and that made him a holy man, but he used to molest me. And perform incest on me and things like that. So there was no rule or regulation. Or my brothers molested me and stuff, and that made me think everything is all right. Or my sister my mother used to do things to me. Even though you might be a female or something like that. Or one of your sisters, or... And so, therefore, you don't have any conscience about doing that. I know that I was raised in nightclubs. My dad was a dancer, performer, and he also owned nightclubs, gambling casinos. Sue and I used to go in there and distribute tracts all the time. Before, when I was younger in the Lord, I just didn't think it was sin. And naturally, when somebody's been molested by their dad or mom, they were raised that way. Or their brothers. And their morals have been broken horribly. And they have to be very more careful to stay far away from anything like that, because the Bible, God says it's sin, okay? And to shun the very appearance of evil, God says it's sin. So no matter how you were raised, you have to walk in the spirit of holiness. Just because you were raised a certain way doesn't mean that it was right. And then when I read in the Bible, the Lord made wine and stuff like that. And I thought, I think it's wrong in those casinos where they're gambling and where they're getting drunk and where there's prostitution and all that. But I see that everywhere. I see it in the church. We had a guy named David Kroof that was in this church that used to come in to make money in the church. He'd solicit everyone that was going to give tithes, and he'd sell jewelry to them. And we were going down, and we couldn't pay for the bills of the people that were in the church, because they were all liking to wear these nice rings and stuff. And so Susie put him out. Then he came back again, and he started getting in the jewelry business again, and had big boxes full of coins and stuff. And he started digging holes underneath these stepping stones on the side of one of the duplexes that I had purchased over in Nashville near the airport. He was hiding the boxes under there, and he was shipping them out of town. And he still was selling jewelry and getting people involved in the jewelry business rather than in the business of the Lord. So I've had to put him out again. Or was he left that time? Was it on his own, or did he leave? Did I throw him out?
Yeah, there was more reports too.
Got all kinds of overwhelming. Yeah, overwhelming reports. Okay, so the spirit of the holiness has to be in the church somewhere. Somebody has to be holy for there to be a testimony of that. Otherwise, you're raising people up in the church to be sinners. And then that's not a church of the Lord, it's the church of Satan, the synagogue of Satan. And the Lord wants to manifest himself in you by your having the spirit of holiness. You have to reject everything that is unholy and receive only that which is holy, because a little unholiness is the whole lump, amen, the whole body. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little poison in a glass of water poisons the whole body if you drink it and kills you. You can't be a little bit satanic and 99% holy. Or you can't, but I see a lot of people that call themselves Christians that are 90% satanic, 99% satanic, and I can't really see any holiness in them. Maybe they're 100% satanic. I don't even see one shred of holiness in them. And if I'm going to ask everybody in this room, do you see people in the church like that? Say amen.
Yes.
That they're not of the Lord. You don't see even 1% of holiness in them? Huh? Yes. They say yes. Well, I see the same thing too. So what you've got then is the synagogue of Satan. Because new souls come in because they read the literature. And you've got people that are not, they don't have the, they're not seeking for the Holy Spirit. They're not praying for it. They're not praying for the saints. They're not praying at all. But they're praying for more comfort for themselves, more cover. If you're not going to become holy, you will leave. You'll leave because I'll have you put out. Just like I have when I found all the other unholy ones in the church. And I see the unholy ones now too. But the Lord is being patient with them, has been patient. And I know and I believe that he's getting impatient now. His patience says, I will not, my spirit will not always strive with you to get right with me. He told that to the whole world one time and then finally drowned them. All except 8. So in a church like that, you see people, they get a look of holiness on their face, innocence. And then they start crying and weeping when they're accused of that which they're actually doing. And they think, how are they screaming like the girl on the door out there, that the more you believe that they're of the Lord and that they're right. Do you think that that woman's bounding on the door last night is right?
No.
And no matter how hard she screams or cries, and then she goes through a series of different repentances. I repent, I won't do it no more. Okay, if he wants me to go to hell, I'll go to hell. Yeah, well, if he wants me to go to heaven, I'll go to heaven. If he wants me to stay here, or if I wanted to go here or there, okay, well then abide by that then. I wanted to go over to her mother's house and stay and not come back to the church. Because she's so far out of the closet now that nobody will ever believe that this is the house of the Lord if I let her stay. Okay, go ahead.
Pray for all saints, God's holy ones.
Yeah, for the saints, the God's holy ones. And you're to pray for a revival too, for people that will really receive the Lord, and pray for a place that there'll be no devils in. Now you say, well, how could this be a house of the Lord if there's so many demonic people here? Well, Jesus had 1 out of 12, right? Only 11 were holy, 1 was bad. Well, there's holy ones in this church, and there's a lot of bad ones too. So 1 out of 12, that means we got quite a few around. We've got thousands of souls all across the world. Maybe millions, you know, who knows. And the ones that, that's where the devil wants to be more than anywhere else, is in that church where he can do the most harm. He don't want to be in bars there. That's boring to him. He wants to come in and undermine. Okay, then what?
Pray for all saints, God's holy ones, throughout the church, that the Spirit of holiness may rule them. Again, that the Spirit of holiness may rule them. Especially...
Yeah, not the Spirit of Satan, but the Spirit of holiness. No, there's two rulers, the Lord and the devil, that the Spirit of holiness might rule, rather than what I see. I see all kinds of people that are astonished when I tell them what the Lord says. I can tell those people are definitely of the devil. They're not happy. They're astonished because they haven't... I've been away for 4 years, and they've just been living according to their own will. They've been doing all kinds of nasty things, filthy things. And the Lord wants the filth flushed out. And he wants it out now. Okay, then what?
Especially pray for new converts.
Yeah, and I would pray for new converts, and they come in, then they get attached to these devils. And there's no more spirit in them anymore. They see them doing all kinds of evil things, and they begin living the same way. Their conscience is not seared anymore because of sin that they do, that they're imitating, that they're supposed to be OC is teaching them. Okay, then what else?
Pray for the saints in your own neighborhood and congregation. Pray for any in your unsaved family and those who God raises up in your spirit.
Yeah, says this one needs prayer more than anyone. Like a special thing when the Lord raises a special person up.